If I was a highway, I'd be a thousand miles long. My road's so twisted and tattered, cause I don't know where I'm bound. I'm concrete.
And good morning and welcome to a Red River Radio Spotlight. I'm Bill Beckett, the program director for Red River Radio. And coming up this Sunday, April 8th at 7 p.m., it's the Shreveport House Concert featuring the Lonesome Heroes in concert. And joining me now by phone is Rich Russell, vocalist and guitarist for the Lonesome Heroes, to fill us in on all the details. Rich, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Howdy. Howdy from Austin, Texas.
All right, Austin. So you've been down there for the South by Southwest here recently, right?
This year was my 14th South by Southwest, and I still like music, so I guess it's an
update. Well, I love South by Southwest, and every now and then NPR offers us concerts from that series, and we've had some great shows that we've been able to put on the air here at Red River Radio.
It's great. It's a madhouse in Austin.
Oh, I'm sure it is. It's like the Greenwich Village of the Southwest. So the name of your band is called the Lonesome Heroes. How did you come about the name of the band, and why are you heroes sort of so lonesome? Can you tell me that?
Well, the title of the band comes from a Leonard Cohen song, mm-hmm. which is a bunch of lonesome heroes. To me, it's sort of about people on a road trip trying to find trying to find that perfect moment or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess heroes are always lonesome is like a concept. And we don't sound anything like Leonard Cohen. I wish we did, but a little bit more of like Western Americana, indie rock.
But is his writing instrumental in sort of the creative process and the muse of the band?
Yeah. I mean, I love Leonard Cohen. I love Bob Dylan. I love a lot of people. I love a lot of weird, like, you know, experimental music. I like all sorts of stuff. I came down to Austin to learn to play country music, and right. then all of it kind of combined into, like, the weird sort of indie country that we do.
Right, yeah. Leonard Cohen and Townes Van Zandt, those are two of my heroes.
Right.
I fell in love with Leonard Cohen with Suzanne way back in the dawn of time. Still one of my favorite songs that he produced as a poet. You're a band that does indie rock, but you sort of have a two-step groove. How did that come together? I mean, that's part of what indie rock is all about, kind of breaking the boundaries and just breaking down all the walls.
That's what I would say. I feel like, that's exactly kind of what we were going for, is to combine different genres into our own sort of sound.
Right.
And I feel like sometimes indie rock gets super segmented into you have to wear a certain outfit or you have to have a certain sound. I grew up in New York, and in the 90s, indie rock was independent music, not a sound, you know?
Not formulaic and controlled by the big record companies.
Where, yeah,
you know, they
exactly.
had the songwriters and the writers of the music, and then they found the voice.
Well, I grew up listening to Sonic Youth and the Velvet Underground.
Right.
Stuff like that, and then came down to Austin, and Austin is such a cool melting pot of music, and it was the first place where I really saw country bands, and you could see a country band and an experimental rock band on the same bill.
Yeah.
And then the bands that I liked when I first moved here kind of combined all that stuff. And that's just worked perfectly for my sort of musical schizophrenia, I guess.
Right, yeah.
And I mean, I do really love country music, and there's a really great dance scene down here. We have a wide range of music, but we can keep people dancing for a couple hours if we need to.
Give us a little bit of the background of the band. How did you all come together? You went from Brooklyn to Texas, and how did you meet the other members of the band? Where do they come from, and how did you all kind of converge and decide to put this together?
Well, we have been a band for more than 10 years now, which makes me feel old. But we've had somewhere about 30 different members over the last 10 years,
mm-hmm.
mostly because, you know, somebody's real into it, and then they get a job, or they get married, or they have a kid, or they start their own project. So it's changed over the years. Gary Newcomb, who's playing with us, he's the longest member at this point. I think he's been playing. He used to have a band called the Gary Newcomb Trio, which was pedal steel, drums, and bass.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a great songwriter and one of my heroes. And somehow I convinced him to play on one of our records when we first started, and then slowly he just kind of joined the band.
Okay. Now, were you one of the founding members or the founding member?
I am the only surviving Lonesome Hero from 10 years ago.
Okay.
So, yeah, I've always been...
So you're lonesome.
Songwriter. I guess so, but I'm not when I have a van full of bandmates asking me questions and wanting to stop to get coffee every 15 minutes.
Right. Life on the road. There's a lot of songs about that, too. So
yeah.
It
really started with me and my ex-girlfriend, Landry. We were both songwriters, and I started the band, and she joined it real soon thereafter, and she's a great steel player. So we toured as a duo, and we'd bring in different people. And we broke up about 6 years ago and then kind of took on a more of a rock and roll band with drums and bass and electric guitar full time.
Now, who are the other band members that will be with you for the show this Sunday?
Well, so we'll have Sweet Gary Newcomb on the Telecaster and vocals.
Okay.
And Georgia Parker, who's from Texas. She's on bass and vocals, and she has her own band called Big Cedar Fever.
Okay.
She does a lot of Western swing stuff.
Yeah.
And then we have a new drummer for the summer in our upcoming tours, whose name is Ben Galloway.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really exciting because he engineered our last three records. So we've spent, I want to say thousands, but I hope it's only hundreds of hours together, obsessing over every song and every sound.
Oh, yeah.
To have him come in on drums, and he knows the whole catalog. He came to our first rehearsal.
Right.
He knew every hit. He knew every lyric, every song. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Now, Lindsay Varell was on your album. She plays banjo and cello, and she's also got her own project, does she not? Would you just fill us in a little bit about that?
Yeah, Lindsay's one of my favorite musicians. I've been in Austin for 14 years now,
mm-hmm.
So it's almost like musically I grew up with so many people, and she's one of those people. And she's been in every cool band I've ever known in this town. Anything from, she has a gospel band called McMercy Family.
Right.
Which is really cool, and they do traditional gospel stuff. And then she was in the Weird Weeds, which is a real experimental band. And then she has her own band called Little Mazarin,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool. It's kind of spooky folk.
Yeah.
She plays banjo through a big tube amp with like tons of reverb and delay, and she makes noise with bows. And then my housemate, who also used to be a Lonesome Hero and used to play bass with us, he plays the musical saw with her. It's really cool.
Oh, I'd love to hear that. So
I'll definitely bring you a copy of that.
Yeah, or just tell her to give her my information and have her send me stuff, because that's perfect for the caravan.
And the first time I saw, she had never done her own solo thing. She's an amazing bass player and instrumentalist. But first time I saw her play her solo set, and she just started making these unreal noises out of her banjo that, kind of Velvet Underground-y.
Right.
I don't know if that's a word. Velvet Underground-ish. It's like very haunting and kind of sad and beautiful at the same time.
Yeah.
It's hard to describe the way what she does, but now everybody wants her to play on the record, of course.
Okay, well, cool. That's an in-demand artist. That's a good thing when you're a musician. So how does, you grew up in Brooklyn, and, that's a hotbed. New York City is, of course, a hotbed of creative activity and always has been. What prompted you to decide to leave that creative, stew pot and go to Austin? Was it just what was going on down there and sort of this new genesis of South by Southwest and that kind of thing?
I went to college, and I grew up in New York and went to a lot of shows, but I left when I was 18. I went to college at UC Santa Cruz in California.
Okay.
And that was real. That was like my first, somehow in California, I really found myself surrounded by musicians and artists, and that was kind of really inspired me. And then I started a band, and I lived in Colorado and traveled around, and everywhere I went, everyone would go, you should go to, and I, once I got into, I was into rock and roll and loud things when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And once I got to college, I got into country music, and everyone's like, you got to go to Austin. You'd love Austin. You got to go to Austin. You'd love Austin. It seemed like everywhere I went,
right,
I'd play a song and someone would say that. So I had a Volkswagen van at the time, and I put my guitar in there and like a few things, and I drove down here to figure out what to do. It was kind of the kind of thing that a 23-year-old would do.
Yeah.
I can't imagine doing that right now.
Tell us about your albums.
We only really have two full lengths. So yeah, we have Daydream Western, and our current album is called Can't Stand Still.
Right.
And then we're at Public Hi-Fi right now, which is Spoon Studio.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really cool that we get to use such a cool space. So we're working on that, which hopefully will be done by the fall. And then I think we have two EPs before that, and then a couple live records that hopefully are out of print, because I don't think they sound that good.
Okay. Well, start
like four or five.
Yeah, you start. I'd still like to hear the live stuff if you've got it, because I've recorded live music for most of my career, so I'm into the. It's not the note perfection. It's not necessarily the mix perfection. It is the energy interplay between the audience and the musicians and how that brings out an emotive quality. That's sort of my thing.
Our new record is we're cutting all live.
Okay.
We'll probably overdub a couple little parts or something.
But right, yeah.
Drums, bass, guitar, electric guitar, and vocals all live. And it kind of amazes me, you know, you hear about bands doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the cool thing to do, and I don't know why we've never done it. I think just needed to be tight enough as a band to do it. And
Right. It's
really, you know, because sometimes you get, like, probably what you were going to say, like the thing where you play a live show and someone's like, I love your record, but the live show is so much more exciting, you know? It's like, oh.
There's an energy quality there that it's hard to describe, but it's like being at a sunrise. You can't describe a sunrise. You have to experience it. You know, there's something going on there. So now Daydream Western, that actually that first record and you got an Independent Music Award. And tell us about the panelists that were judging that.
Yeah, that was a kind of cool. A friend of mine told me we should apply for the alt country category. I can't remember. And I was like, we're not going to win. We never win things like that. But the cool thing was that two of the judges was Keith Richards and Tom Waits.
Right.
Who else was, I can't remember.
Suzanne Vega one that I have. Yeah.
Right. And so it was like, you know, a list of really pretty cool people. And I mean, the best part for it for me was that those people had to listen to all of our records. So I just like imagine Tom Waits, you know, driving in his old truck, which probably doesn't have a CD player, but I like to imagine him driving around in California and he's like, gotta listen to the Lonesome Hero CD.
Yeah. With that gravelly voice of his.
Yeah. And we won, which was crazy because it wasn't like a popularity contest. Like a lot of times those things are, you know, you have to put on Facebook, vote for us and da, da, da. It was really, I think must have been based on the judges because I don't think we were popular.
One of your singles was featured in a TV series, was it?
Yeah, we were on the show Bloodline.
Okay.
And that was cool. They used a song, Western Style Saloons. And that's a really cool, really, really cool TV show.
Yeah.
And they actually used like a minute and 30 seconds sort of in a bar scene.
Oh.
Makes sense because that's kind of like a barroom song.
Right, yeah, yeah.
That was cool. And we had one in Nashville a few years ago too, which that was really cool too. And that kind of was again like a nice, sometimes if you tour around for years driving in circles and, you know, we have wonderful gigs, you know, and then we have some terrible dive bars where nobody wants to listen or somebody gets in a fight and you kind of get frustrated about what am I doing with my life.
Right.
But when you get little things like, oh, you know, things that your mom or people in the real world will go, you're on the Bloodline TV show? And you're like, yeah, played at a hot dog stand last night, but our song is a million people listened to our song last night too.
I'm curious, you had toured with the Aussie singer Ruby Boots. How did you come to know her? Where was that connection?
Oh, cool. You must have read our website or something.
I went through your entire bio, dude.
Oh, well, we did a tour of Australia. I think it was two years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to remember. And it was really, really cool. Kind of a DIY. A friend of mine booked it who's from there.
Right.
And we borrowed another friend's van. And I mean, it was like, you know, we're going to explore this continent. And we had some pretty big shows and some pretty small shows, kind of like not that different than our normal life. But we played at this festival called Dashville.
Right.
And the whole theme of Dashville was like basically cosmic American music, cosmic Americana, which was so cool. And they brought us in because that's what we do. And we're like, wait, you have a festival of the kind of music that we actually play? Like, they don't even have that in America. I mean, I guess they do. But and she was one of the artists that was there, and we just hit it off, you know, and then played a couple shows in Sydney and around in different cities, and she was on tour, so we got to hang out with her. And then when tour was done, I got to travel around and met, I don't know if you know, there's a band called The Waifs.
Yeah.
In Australia, they're like, you know, they're legends, as they say over there.
Right.
And so I got to, I mean, Australia was just so cool. I got to meet, you know, the stars of Australia, and just everybody was just so nice and a really open scene.
And they have some tremendous talent down there that has some who have broken through to America. And unfortunately, some who have not yet, but they should, you know, they need to get some.
Yeah,
some
I mean, the music play. Scene, people, the way I try and describe it to people over here is like, when we would go to play a show in Australia, I would get there and people would say, oh, like, I love your record. I love this song.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, wow. Whereas in America, most of the time, you know, people aren't listening to the record before they get to the show. They're there to go to the show. And it really was, people still buy records. Uh-huh. You know, there's record stores. There's a community radio station, like 5 community radio stations in every town.
Right, yeah.
You know.
They have a whole different approach to the music business and to arts and to communication
and
broadcasting.
Yeah, it's like it was here before whatever happened where everything is just stuck in an iPhone now.
Right, yeah. Yeah. It just kind of calls to mind, there's a guy from Oklahoma named Verlin Thompson. He wrote with Guy Clark. And he goes over every year to the Towns Van Zandt Festival in Holland. Now, we don't have a Towns Van Zandt Festival in America, but they have one in Holland because they have fallen in love with his music. And I knew a classical violinist who came to America from Holland to learn bluegrass and Americana fiddling because they love our style of music. And sometimes a lot of American music, like jazz and alternative music and sort of the Towns Van Zandt singer-songwriter vein, is more popular in Europe than it is in America, which is kind of sad when you think about it. So you're loved in Australia, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, we have pockets of places where we do really well. It's the hard thing as a smaller band is to cover all the United States every year. We don't have planes, and we don't have big tour buses, and we don't have drivers, and we're in it.
Right, exactly. And well, if you can ever get over to Holland and that area of the coastal area of Europe, I think you'd find a venue for a lot of people to like your music over there.
Yeah, that's my next dream is to go over there.
Yeah, we'll definitely. So let's get to the show this weekend. Do you have anything special in store for this weekend? Any new songs you're going to unleash?
Oh, wow. We have a couple new songs. And, well, I mean, I guess in sort of, I guess this might sound bad, but in sort of what we call a South Austin rehearsal sort of way, which is kind of an old hippie term. Like, we play at the White Horse pretty regular,
right?
Like every other week or so. Which is like a real popular kind of hipster honky-tonk here in Austin. I shouldn't call it that. They would be really upset when I said that. But so it's a lot of times, like, we'll try out new material, kind of try it out there, but we haven't really, like, fully flushed it out yet.
Right.
So we actually, with Ben coming in on drums, we actually just went over a few new songs and actually kind of wrote parts, not just doing the barroom, 1, 2, 3, 4, let's try it and see what happens.
Right.
So that was exciting to kind of see the song go from, you know, me in the room to, you know, playing it in the bar to doing the next thing. It's almost like, what would be the word I'm looking for? You know, just kind of like finding the true essence of the song and kind of working on it. So we have 2 new songs like that. And then we also brought in a couple old songs from our back catalog. So should be really cool.
Yeah, cool.
And then we also have like a whole new record that we haven't finished recording. So there'll be about 6 new songs from that too.
Okay, so some previews of some things you've already gone through pretty heavily rehearsed and stuff that you've already kind of gone into the studio.
Yeah.
Usually they're pretty heavily rehearsed by the time you get into the studio, you know.
One would hope so, but not always.
Yeah, well, you know, there are some moments in musical history where it was a one-off in the studio of a new song and it just came together. And the one that comes to mind is the tune Stand By Me by Benny King. That was a sort of an aside thing. It wasn't planned for the recording session, but he wanted to do it. You know, that's the serendipity of making music.
Oh, yeah. I'm really excited. I'm also, we've played so many rock clubs and so many honky tonks. And I mean, we played in state parks and all sorts of weird places, but like coming to play a real listening room, I'm really excited about, because Saturday night we'll be in Houston at a real kind of hip club.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be people dancing, but it's not the same as people really listening.
Yeah, yeah. And
I guess as a songwriter, that's kind of what turns me on the most.
Yeah, people sitting still and actually paying attention and kind of tuning into everything you're doing, almost like they're sitting at home with the headphones on, you know, kind of really zoning in on the music. So obviously you'll have CDs for sale at the show. Are you going to bring both albums just so that you have those available for folks?
Well, we have vinyl records too.
How do folks learn more about you online? Can you give out your website?
Yeah, it's just thelonesomeheroes.com.
Okay. And you have any other shows scheduled? We cover almost all of Louisiana, parts of Mississippi, and a good portion of East Texas. So if you can give folks maybe a preview of what's coming up.
We're playing on Tuesday next week, playing in New Orleans at this thing called the Covered Dish Country Jamboree.
Okay.
At the Dragon's Den. And it's kind of, it seems really cool. I haven't been yet, but it's like a Tuesday night dance kind of thing.
Right.
And everybody, you get free admission if you bring a dish.
Okay.
That's a big potluck. And it's like a
cool concept.
All of my friends who have played it have said it's the coolest thing. So that's on Tuesday in New Orleans. So that'll be fun. And we have one night off in New Orleans. So we're going to go see my friend John Hatchett play, which should be cool.
All right, cool. Any final thoughts you want to share with folks before we go?
Well, I guess I'd like to just say hey to my favorite band in Shreveport, the Wall Chargers.
Oh, okay.
My friend Landon Miller, who's been in that band and many bands for a long time. So I'll be real excited to see him.
Oh, okay, cool. So,
give them a plug since I love them.
All right. So, Rich, I want to thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Oh, thank you.
You bet. That was Rich Russell, vocal and guitarist for the Lonesome Heroes, and they're going to be featured this Sunday night at 7 p.m. on the next Shreveport House Concert Series at 1508 Fairfield Avenue in Shreveport. For ticket information, contact the Shreveport House Concert online at shreveporthouseconcerts.org, or you can call 318-670-3567. That's 318-670-3567. This has been a Red River Radio Spotlight, and for Red River Radio, I'm Bill Beckett.